This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Empathy is a relatively common word, but it's also a concept that is poorly understood. It's sometimes confused with sympathy, pity, or feeling sorry for someone. According to Edith Stein, a German phenomenologist, empathy can be facilitated. It also can be interrupted and blocked, but it cannot be forced to occur. When empathy occurs, we find ourselves experiencing it, rather than directly causing it to happen. Last month, Vancouver Island University student Emma Irving, who is a member of the Nanaimo Working Group on Homeless, organized an overnight campout in a downtown park for people who wish to experience what it would be like to be without a home to sleep in. Victoria resident and Zen practitioner Say In Remy Jordan has participated in street retreats involving living on the streets of Victoria and Vancouver for 4 days and three nights at a time, bearing witness to another reality.
We're joined on the phone by Say In Remy Jordan and in the studio by Emma Irving. Welcome to People First Radio, both of you. Emma, why did you organize the October Sleep in the Park event? What was the goal?
Overall, the goal was to raise more awareness about the homeless community within Nanaimo. We raised money as well to provide sleeping bags at the shelters for the homeless in Nanaimo, and it also provided a safe place for the homeless to sleep for one night. We had a few homeless people participate as well with us, which was really cool to see.
Now, you issued an invitation to anyone who was interested or motivated to have this experience to join you in the park beginning at 1 p.m. or later. What was the response like?
We had a lot of people come out during the day, and they hung out, and they asked questions, and a lot of them actually saw the article in the newspaper. A lot of people stayed for about an hour or 2 hours. Some of them stayed until the night. About 20 people or so actually slept out, and we had a few people that said, "Why are you doing this? There's no point," you know, that gave a negative response. But overall, it was very positive.
What was your answer to people who asked you, "Why is it you're doing this? Why are you doing this? There's no point." What did you say in return?
I said that these are people, you know, this could be anybody. It's not right that they don't have a place to live. Housing is a right, it's not a privilege, and nobody deserves to be homeless.
Say In, you've been involved in two Bearing Witness workshops. What motivated you to participate in them? Or retreats, I should say.
Yeah, I have been involved with two, and I guess my motivation was not from an advocacy kind of perspective around homelessness as an issue or a social justice issue, but really is part of an extension and part of the spiritual practice that I do within the Zen Center, the Victoria Zen Center that I'm a member of. And there's a group out of New York, the Zen Peacemakers, that organize these retreats is really an extension of a spiritual practice and a more formal meditation retreat. And so I had actually been reading about some of this and seen a picture of some of this. And I have to say, as soon as I saw this picture of this person, you know, really being on the street, living as a homeless person for you know, it's not a huge amount of time, but for some time, and doing that as a form of spiritual practice. As soon as I saw the picture, it was kind of like a lightning rod hit me, and I thought, I have to go try that. I got to go do that.
You wrote on your blog that participating or attending the retreat in Victoria was a way for you to explore and better understand a path which your life could have taken. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, from a couple of dimensions. One is that as a child, I was abused as a child, and so, you know, when you kind of look at of people who suffered childhood abuse, one of the paths, not the only path, but one of the paths that can flow from that experience is, you know, that path of homelessness and being on the street, and so that's certainly one aspect of it. And as another aspect, you know, my family wasn't particularly well off when I was a child, and I have very clear memories of going to food banks and getting additional things to help us meet our needs, especially when I was a young child. And so both of those are kind of things that, you know, that could have been my life.
You've also written more on your blog, of course, about your experience in that Victoria retreat. I'd like to read a couple of lines. I have never had the chance to see the city through the eyes of those living on the streets. What does that city look like? How does my home treat people living on the streets? How can I better connect to people living on the streets of my home? Tell us about that dynamic.
Well, I think that's, for me, I think the single most important part of participating in the street retreats for me was that after kind of doing it for, like, you know, 48 hours, you've slept out for a couple of nights, that in terms of the street population, they're not necessarily sure what you are. You're not necessarily a street population person from their perspective, but they're not sure what you are. But from the perspective of the world in which I would normally live, the restaurants in which I would go into and sit down, and, you know, the malls I would go into and stuff like that, from the perspective of that world, as far as they were concerned, I was a street person. And suddenly these invisible walls would go up, you know, like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, why are you in this? Perhaps we could escort you out of the mall. All this kind of stuff would start happening that just never happened to me on a day-to-day basis. I was born and raised in Victoria, lived here my whole life. It never happened to me before. And I saw these walls and stuff that just had been, I had always invisibly walked through before.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
In an academic paper published in 2001, Sarah Hodges and Christy Klein write that there are almost as many definitions of empathy as there are researchers who have studied the topic. The definitions cover a broad spectrum, including feeling a concern for other people that creates a desire to help them, experiencing emotions that match another person's emotions, knowing what the other person is thinking or feeling, and blurring the line between self and other. We're speaking about empathy today and asking the question, can empathy be taught? We're joined on the phone by Victoria resident and Zen practitioner Sayin Remy Jordan, who has participated in Bearing Witness street retreats that involve living on the streets of Victoria and Vancouver for 4 days and three nights at a time. And we're joined in the studio by Vancouver Island University student Emma Irving, who is a member of the Nanaimo Working Group on Homeless. Emma recently organized an overnight campout in a downtown park for people who wish to experience what it would be like without a home to sleep in.
Emma, a Nanaimo News Bulletin article said that you've worked as a tenant support worker and that you saw firsthand how hard some individuals work to survive. You told the Bulletin, quote, "They inspired me so much how hard they are trying to survive in our culture and our community, and it makes me want to make it easier for them." Tell us more about your empathy and compassion, your experience of your empathy and compassion, and what motivates you to want to help.
When I was in the social housing building, I did my practicum there, and these people just opened my eyes. You know, I didn't, you know, I had seen people that have struggled my whole life, and it didn't really hit home until these people opened up to me and opened up to their stories and explained how difficult things have been for them their entire life, what hardships they've faced, what stigmas they've faced, and now that they have, you know, a structured place to live, how much happier and easier it is to be stable and happy and healthy. It's making me realize how much more it is, having a home, having a place to call home, is needed to have a structured life, and how much of a stressor it is, and all of these things that it must be to not know where your next meal is going to come from, where you're going to sleep next, if you're going to get kicked out of where you're going to be sleeping, or if you're going to get thrown in jail. It's terrifying. And I don't want anyone to have to think like that or have to face any of those problems anymore.
Sayin, you share the following experience, which occurred at the Our Place Society facility during the Victoria retreat. And this is from your blog as well. I sat in the courtyard at our place and talked to one of the volunteers. We talked, and I don't think she believed that I was part of a group on a street retreat. She thought I was living in a fictional world with my wife and three kids waiting for me to come home. I'm not used to people thinking I'm crazy. Normally, people believe me when I talk, but not anymore. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, it was very interesting to kind of go from, a position of authority and those things. I mean, like, one of the roles that I have is as the co-chair of the Greater Victoria Coalition on Homelessness, and so you can speak with a certain level of authority when you're introduced with that, but to kind of come in through that different doorway that the street retreat offers, and I had several people, you know, kind of look at me, and when I would talk about what I was doing and my wife and kids, and just like, they'd be just kind of shaking their heads, and I was like, no, and I think that's part of the real power, at least for me, that kind of experience, because it really gets you to re-examine in this very physical way that all these ideas about you have about yourself and your importance and all the, you know, this is who I am, all that kind of stuff, you know, is all constructed. It's all added on, and it gets you to, for me, see a much deeper underlying truth that the difference between you and all these other people is really is virtually no difference at all. And that sense between you, dissolving between you and other, which is one of the definitions that I heard in that clip there, I think really captures that idea, that direct experience of dissolving between you and to other.
We have just a moment left in our conversation today. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add. Emma Irving.
Empathy, it's important. I mean, when you told me that it was a question of whether or not empathy can be taught, I'm still struggling with if I think it can be or not.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a question, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I don't remember a time where I haven't been an empathetic person. And that's another thing that I'm trying to understand, is where other people are coming from when they're looking out upon a homeless community and the struggles that they are having with that community, and not me thinking, oh, well, this person is just mean because they don't understand what it could be like to be homeless. So I think it's coming from both aspects that people need to understand.
Say in Remy Jordan.
Yeah, I guess, you know, upon the question, can empathy be taught? You know, for me, I think the answer would be yes, it can be taught, you know, fundamentally in the same way that other things can be taught, in the sense that experiential understanding is a good way to teach a whole bunch of things, empathy being one of those things. And for me, it really flows from this being able to create environments where you have experiences that show you how deeply connected you are to other people, especially to other people that you would consider, quote-unquote, the other. And so when you can have those situations where you understand that connection, I believe empathy and understanding of that flow, if the compassion flows from that.
Say, and Emma, thanks to both of you for taking the time to join us today. It was much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Emma Irving studies social work at Vancouver Island University. She's a member of the Nanaimo Working Group on Homelessness. Sayin Remy Jordan is a former high-tech CEO and was executive in residence at the Faculty of Business at University of Victoria. He practices Zen Buddhism with the Victoria Zen Center and received the Dharma name of Sayin in 2009. You can find Sayin Remy Jordan's blog online at Sayin, that's SEIIN, remyjordan.blogspot.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.